Good morning, and welcome to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the Bible, the Bible's home way, and we are excited for another day of grace. It's the 6th of June, and the sun is shining outside, and it's just a wonderful day. We have our grandchildren up from Virginia, so if you hear some little kids talking or running around, then it's a blessing to hear their little pattered feet, and as they are here. They're going to be staying with us for the whole week, or at the campground, I should say. So prayer requests, praise items, continue to pray for the people that are sick, that are amending over some health issues, are out there financially looking for things to work, which they shouldn't have no issues finding jobs these days. But keep that in thought and prayer. Keep our government and thought and prayer as we continue to lift them up. It's a dark world out there, and we need to continue to be the light who we are in Christ Jesus. Keep our ministry in thought and prayer as we continue to establish a local work in the Cambridge, Ohio area, the southeastern part of the state. And it's a struggle, because sometimes you look around, you're like, you got all these seats and there's nobody here. And but if you go to the ball fields or shopping centers and stuff, it's packed. Well, that's the course of the world. And we teach grace, and you have liberty to do the things that you need to do. But we would encourage you to come here and visit with us and study with us. Because the thing is, God's will is to have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we know that all men are not going to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. And then some are saved, and they're still not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the truth is what sets us free, and the truth is what will prevail in God's word, and it's the light. And when you stand for truth and God's word rightly divided, it can expose a lot of things out there in the dark world, whether it's worldly political size or whether it's spiritual size. I was talking with a young man yesterday. He's about 70-some years old, and we're running around the block, warm-up block, and we was talking about the spiritual battle, and we both agreed that if you could actually see the battle that's waging above your head, the spiritual battle, it would probably scare you to death, and you would hope that it would scare you in a way that you would come to the knowledge of the truth. But you know something, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, he was God. He was performing miracles and wonders and all in the eyes of the world, and they was blind. They wouldn't acknowledge that. So even if the Lord Jesus Christ came today, they'd be a group of people, or if not majority of people, to say, he's not God. So with that being said, when you have his word, you can discern some things about what God is doing. And that's why it's very, very important to understand the Word of God rightly divided. And that's why we're taking our times through the fundamentals of dispensationalism and walk through some time period that God, he never changes, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So with that being said, he don't change, but the way he deals with man has changed. And he does not deal with man the way he did back in Genesis through Malachi. And we'll get into this in a little bit. Or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He deals with man on a basis of grace that he gave through his son, Christ Jesus, to dispense the Apostle Paul some words, some letters, 13 epistles that he wrote for us to be able to understand what God is doing out there. Now, I don't know it all, but God does. And God gave us his word, and those words that comes off his page to get down inside of us, that's what changes us, guys. It's not music. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's not programs. It's not church buildings. It's not stained glass or padded pews. It's the word. And when you get that word inside of you, those things don't matter. You'll meet out here on a stump somewhere, under a tree. Those things, you know, we can meet anywhere. We can have church anywhere. So I know a lot of people put emphasis on what do you have to offer? What do you have to offer? What do you have to offer? Well, I can give you maybe a hot cup of coffee. We may sing a song every once in a while, or, you know, some donuts or something like that, and then we get into Word. So this is what changes us today. This is what we need. We need the substance of God's Word into our in our body for the doctrinal sake. So keep that in thought and prayer as we continue to push forward. I know it can discourage a lot of people just give up and quit, you know, but no, that's not me. That's not what God would want me to do. And that's what not God wants you to do. God wants you to be faithful, okay? And I know many of you are in different parts of the country, and that's okay. But continue to pray for us as we are struggling in a way to get this message out. We'll continue to press on, okay? We'll keep pressing towards the mark. Let's go to word prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. And so we thought about the prayer requests and praise items. When we think about the people that we could reach, we think about the people that you could reach, those that are listening and those that are here with us in spirit and in body, that we are here for a purpose, and that's to be a light in this dark world. And as we think about that, and as we continue our lessons through fundamentals, that we may be able to glean something from that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a conference in July 17th through 21st in Chicago, Illinois area. Go to graceimpact.com. I don't have the information in front of me right now. The flyer's upstairs, and I do apologize. But we will be there, and many other preachers. There's like 21 messages, and it's going to be a great time. But they need to know if you're going to come, that so the housing and that type of thing. And there's a go to graceimpact.com, or the information is on our website, our Dispensation Bible Church page, and for more information on that. So we'd love to see you next month. So anyway, we're in lesson 11, and last week we left off to begin to study the issues and time past and that middle wall petition. When we talk about times past, we're not looking at the but now. We're not looking at ages to come, but we're studying about what had happened in times past. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 talks about, wherefore remember that ye being in times past, Paul's writing to Ephesians, writing to the body of Christ, and he's talking about times past, ye Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision made with hands. Times past, God made that distinction. You cannot get over that. Okay? That's a very, very important thing to think about, how God laid out his word, and understand that the distinction of basic characteristics was between the circumcision, this is his upper line, Israel, and the uncircumcision. That's us Gentiles down here. And it's critical for us to understand that. And the sign that we talked about and the seal of covenant that God gave to Israel. God never did give a Gentile in times past, or a Gentile today, the body of Christ, if you will, or if you're saved today, he never did give us a sign or a seal or a covenant. And that's to the seed of Abraham. And his seed is circumcision. And the rest of the Gentiles in times past, guess what we was? We was cut off. We was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants, and having no God, without God in the world, and having no hope. That's not a good thing, guys. And so when you think about this time period, that distinction fits in Genesis through Malachi. That was, you know, if you look at your Bible, we look and say, it's the Old Testament. Yeah, okay? But when you get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that distinction's still there. The distinction between Jew and Gentile, circumcision, uncircumcision. You can't get by that when you find out the Lord Jesus Christ, his earthly ministry was to Israel only. I come to no one but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then you get in a but now, in this time period right here, that's where we're at. That there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile, circumcision and uncircumcision. It does not benefit you to become a part of the circumcision over here. God don't deal on those bases today. Then ages to come, you're right back over here that God's going to use Israel, elevate Israel once again up here, that made some promises that we're going to look at and where they're going to be at over here. And then we have ages to come where God puts back the, or puts the heaven and earth under Lord Jesus Christ's headship. Okay? So we saw that that God made a distinction and God made a division between Jew and Gentile. God made that distinction. We acknowledge that. God made a division back there. And you know, a lot of people today tries to make divisions. And it's wrong. Because there, and when the grace message, there is no race in grace. Okay? There is no distinction between Jew, Gentile, bond free, male, female. Okay? When you come to understand what God is doing through the headship of Jesus Christ, He places us in a body. Now, many of us are different, okay? But when you're in a body of Christ, there's no distinction. Whether what color you are, it doesn't matter in the dispensation of grace. But in times past, it did, okay? And then you get ages to come, Hebrews through Revelation. Now, if you want to be on the right side of this wall, okay, the middle wall partition, if you want to be on the right side, you had to be on the circumcision side. You had to be on Israel's side. And God made covenants with them. And He made promises of them in the dispensation of promise. We went over that. And the dispensation promise, you had to be circumcised or what? You could bless Israel, okay, and bless those. You know, I think about some people all through the Bible through here. They blessed Israel and God blessed them. You know, He fed them. We looked at some scripture verses of that last week. And you can, that's the only way you got to be on that side. You either became a Jew, a circumcised Israelite, what we call a proselyte, or you blessed them. Remember when the woman in Matthew 15, where she came to the Lord Jesus Christ, her daughter was grievous vexed with the devil. And she said, "Lord, Lord, help me." Well, let's look at that right quick. Hold those fingers there and go to Matthew chapter 15. Might be getting ahead of myself, but this is good stuff, guys. Matthew chapter 15. And verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievous vexed with the devil." She knew who Jesus Christ was, called him Lord, and son of David. And but verse 23, "But he answered her not a word." Now, can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ walking down the path, and this woman came up to him and wanted him to heal her daughter, and he didn't say any word to her. Now, you probably haven't heard much of that, have you, in the religious world? "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, she cry after us. So she went to the Lord. The Lord didn't say a word to her. She goes to the 12. And the 12 comes to the Lord and say, "Hey, send her away. She's crying after us. She's not giving up." But he answered and said. He answered and said. He didn't talk to her. He's talking to the 12. He answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's who the Lord Jesus Christ came to. They first must be fed before they can feed anybody else. They was in a state of apostasy up here that the religious leaders didn't even know who they were serving. Well, they kind of did, the father of the devil, who they were serving. Then verse 25, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." She's still going after the Lord. "But he answered and said," okay, he finally answers her, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." That woman's down here. She's a Gentile. She's going to the Lord. And the Lord said, "It's not meet to take this bread and that he's going to feed his children the many, not all, the many there, and cast it to the bunch of dogs down here. Now, that don't sound good, does it? That don't sound like something a prophet or priest or king would do. But somebody, she said, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." She acknowledged who she was. She acknowledged that she was under this table, Israel's blessing over here, and she was willing to eat the crumbs that fall from that table. Look what the Lord said. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole that very hour. That very hour when she acknowledged who she was under that Israel's table, that Israel was a channel of blessings in times past, her daughter was healed, not after 15 chemotherapy treatments, not after 17 days in the hospital. She didn't even go to the well and dip herself 7 times in the River Jordan, that type of thing. That very hour, that's the God I serve, okay? That's the God I serve. And he can do it immediately. So you think about this a little bit. And those nations received the blessings by blessing the nation Israel. That's what that's all about. Now, we learn about this, but let's learn why God erected a middle wall partition. Because there's a wall there. And we learn the distinction is and how it's revealed in times past. The man in times past, guys, had a hope when he looked into the future. Okay? That's what he was looking into the future over here, all the way over here. He had a hope. And why did God set Israel apart? Why could he just kept them down there amongst all the nations? And why was God's purpose for the middle wall partition? Those are some good answers, good questions. Hopefully we'll have the answer. Well, God's got the answer. We just got to dig into it. In Exodus 19, we find Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they go down into Egypt. And in Genesis 15, God told them that they would be afflicted 400 years in a strange land, and he would bring them out a great nation. And so, now, they are about to come out of Egypt in Exodus 19. And when they go down, there's 70 souls that goes in Egypt. And when they come out, there's millions. I forget how many they said 6 million. I don't know how they figured that, but they millions of them. And in 400 years of their exile, they multiplied under their affliction. You know, we can learn from that. Many of us are being afflicted today because we can't meet in church. Many of us are being afflicted today because they shut our Facebook down and we can't get on the proper channels. But that don't stop us doing other avenues. We should be able to grow even more. When truth comes out of these afflictions and you build yourself up who you are in Christ, you can multiply. And afflictions tend to make you strong and to grow. Do they not? You don't sit there, "Oh, woe is me. Oh, mercy, they took this away from me." No. It can make you stronger and you can grow. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus saith thou, say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel," verse 4, "ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bared you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." The Lord went down there, brought them out, and brought them to their self. He reminds them what he did to them. Where'd he go? I'm sorry. Hang on one second. There it is. Oh, he reminds them of what he did to himself by bringing them out of Egypt. and which is a type of the world, Egypt was, and he sets them apart unto himself. And he did it at the Red Sea. Now, you know what happens to the Red Sea. They come up to the Red Sea. Their backs behind them, Egyptian army's coming down the way. The Red Sea is in front of them, cliffs on both sides. And the people start murmuring, what do you do? Take us out here to get... He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know what salvation is? Deliverance. And they're going to stand still and see God deliver them out of their afflictions. And that has he promised them. And that's a good lesson to think about, because when he opened up the Red Sea and Israel went across on dry land, what happened to Pharaoh? What happened to his armies? The water came in and drowned them. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul recounts on that, about that, and he says their people were baptized into Moses in the cloud of the sea. That's where they were separated and placed into Moses' program, the leadership, the understanding who they are, okay, under Moses. By the way, you know what you call that? What type of baptism you call that? A dry baptism. So the very first baptism in your Bible, it's a dry baptism. Who got wet? Pharaoh and his army. They went out to judgment out there, okay? And they was lost. That should tell us something about that type of thing. God places us in the Bible today that we're baptized by one Spirit. God does that. You're not placed in the water. You're not placed in the watery grave, that type of thing that religion tells you that. Don't do that. You trust what God did for you. Israel went across on dry land, and it says they were baptized unto Moses. So the way that God brought Israel unto himself was to separate them out of the world, making a division, a distinction between them and the world. Verse 5 says, now therefore, if ye obey, my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. And verse 6 says, and ye shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, that holy, the word holy means to be set apart unto intelligent purpose that God created you for. Holy and acceptable, unblameable. Okay? That's why he chose Israel. Out of all that nation down there, coming out of that world system down there, all that stuff that the God of this world has running since the beginning, and he's merchandising, and he's trafficking things, and he's doing all this stuff that you see out there today. That ain't nothing new. It's been going on since the fall of man. And these are the words which I spake, thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Israel is to be set apart on the right side of the middle wall of partition, and they are to be a kingdom of priests. Okay? Why was the Lord Jesus Christ baptizing to John? It wasn't that he had sin on him, like everybody says, that you need to be baptized for the remission of sins. He was being identified with the ministry of John the Baptist that the Father sent him out to do, so he became a kingdom of priests. The Lord Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. David was prophet, priest, and king. Moses was prophet, priest, and king. Abraham was prophet, priest, and king. Adam was prophet, priest, and king. There's a position that God made for man to be of a head of a nation. And that's who Jesus Christ is out of. And out of that nation, Israel, God is going to make a kingdom. A kingdom. And these are the kingdom people, and they are who God will make them a kingdom of priests. People that will minister for him. That's why he chose 12. They're ministers of him. Paul's ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ for him. And then they come over here in ages to come. They're going to be a kingdom of priests. So they can minister things out. And they will take his word out to the nations, to the Gentiles. That's what they're supposed to do right here. They wasn't doing it. That's why John the Baptist comes on the scene out in the wilderness, and he's crying out to Jerusalem and Judea. He's calling them out of that system, that religious system out there. We should be the type of people calling people out of that religious system out there. There's all kinds of denominations and religious systems in the world today that you need to know, discern what's truth out there. It's the doctrine that draws lines. It's the Word of God that draws lines. You know, people tell you you can be saved this way, and they can tell you to be saved this way, and they get in catfights all the time. We talk about water baptism. You get Catholic, Methodist, and Baptist together, they'll fight you like a cat fight on which baptized. Is it sprinkled? Is it submerged? Is it dunked? But you tell them that God does the baptism, that you don't believe in water for salvation, and they'll all turn on you. Don't let that bother you. Been there, done that. He will make them a kingdom, though whom his message of salvation will go to the ends of the earth. That's his purpose on this earth. In Genesis, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, God's purpose and focus was the earth. People today still focus on the earth, about a kingdom and stuff. And I will make you a blessing and will bless them that bless thee. Notice in verse 5, Exodus 19, verse 5, say, if you keep my commandments, then the principle of the law is if you do it, you'll get the blessing. Therefore, he gave them law, and that begins the dispensation of law. Dispensation promise. Dispensation law. Now, did Israel keep the law? The answer is no. Could Israel keep the law? The answer is no. Can you keep the law? The answer is no. I think the part of the law is being separated unto good works. And that law never did point to you how good you are. And I know people today that works for law enforcement. And I know people today that watches, you know, you go down the speed limit at 70 miles an hour. How many does 71 and a half? Broke the law. That type of thing. So there is going to be a time of wrath and a time of judgment upon the nation Israel. And we call that the Great Tribulation period, the times of Jacob's trouble over here. And the reason for that time of wrath, and they know about it, is because they did not keep this law over here. Now, as a child, you're bringing up a child, and you tell them some things. You do this, you get this. You do that, you don't get that. And it's a battle, constant battle. And sometimes they don't care what the consequences are. I did the same thing. They'd much rather do what you told them not to do and suffer the consequences than do what you told them to do and get benefits. I know that's weird, but sometimes we do that. You know, you don't care. I don't care what the consequences is. I'm going to go. Well, with that being said, that's why the tribulation period over here. And they're coming. It's going to come about. And because they were sinners and did not keep the law, they need a redeemer. So God promised them a redeemer that would come and redeem them from the wrath and establish a kingdom over here. You know, something very, very interesting about that. When God also, when man fell over here, what is that? Man fell over here to Adam, Genesis 3:15. He knew man needed a redeemer. He promised a redeemer to redeem mankind. That was Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Israel falls through here and creates wrath to come. They're going to have to be redeemed over here. And they will be. And when the man in time past looked into the future, his hope was the promised kingdom. His hope was a redeemer who would redeem Israel from her enemies and establish her in a kingdom and save her from the wrath of God, which John the Baptist told him was coming. Who's going to save you from the wrath of God? Sitting, and they're going to set up the head of nations over here, and they're not going to be a tail. They're going to be a head like God promised them. Go to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. A Redeemer is going to come out of Zion, and he's going to redeem them over here. Because we know what they did right here, right? They crucified them. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, the gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall shine all, shall also, excuse me, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of his rising. There's going to be a light over here. Okay? In other words, the nation of Israel is going to rise into a position of being ahead of nations of a kingdom. You don't see that happen today. That's because God's not forming a nation today. He's forming a body of Christ. And when the Redeemer, the Messiah, comes, he will rise them up to the position that God ordained them, and they're going to be the head of the nation. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of in Luke chapter 4. And he said, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, if you check what the Lord Jesus did in Luke chapter 4, he stops reading right in the middle of the verse. He reads, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What he was reading in Isaiah, he's reading all the way down through what we just read, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he goes, then he closes the book. And now we, now why Lord Jesus Christ did this, stop reading in the middle of verse, because the day of the vengeance was not yet to come. So he was reading down here. He said, this is an acceptable year of the Lord. And he said, this day the scriptures are fulfilled in your ears. So down through the middle of Isaiah 61 verse 2, the passage had been fulfilled. You can't deny that. Christ had come, and the acceptable year of the Lord was for there for Israel. But the day of vengeance has yet to come. So you know what that makes the Lord Jesus Christ out to be? A dispensationalist. That's why we're a dispensational Bible church. God himself is a dispensationalist. He knew what time it was. Okay? He knew he was in times past, but it's in ages to come when he's going to dispense that. Very, very important, guys. Very, very important. You know, that you got a Bible that has dispensation in there four times. If you don't, you need to check your Bible, okay? And it all four times in Apostle Paul's writing, because he is the one to dispensing grace. God, through Jesus Christ, the glorified, risen Lord and Savior, is gave Paul the dispensation of grace to dispense the word, the age of grace in what we're doing. And now, if what happens in verse 4, the day after the day of vengeance. And they shall build the old waste, they shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. The Gentiles are going to bless Israel, and they will serve Israel and be subject to Israel. Now, that's not slavery, okay? That's doing what God told them to do. They're going to bless. They're going to be happy to do it. Unlike many of us are happy to work today, okay? Israel was in Egypt in the world down there, subject to Pharaoh, the world, doing what Pharaoh told them to do, and Pharaoh and them was blessing or getting multiplied. Verse 6, Isaiah 61, verse 6. The Gentile had to be submissive under Israel to get a blessing. Be ye, but ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall ye boast yourself. The nation Israel will be a royal priesthood, guys, a kingdom of priests, ministers to whom the word of God goes out of the, into the nations of the kingdom. That's not going on today. Israel's not a blessing to the nations today. Israel's not up here above a light of the world today. And the prophets prophesied back in time past, and what they promised was a hope that man in time past would have a place of being saved from this wrath and go right into a kingdom and be placed in ages to come, and that promise over here. Okay? And was going to be saved, and they were the head of nations and the priests and of God carrying the word of God to the Gentiles. That's what's going on, going to go over here. But that wrath period over here is a bad time. But we know that a little remnant runs to the wilderness and being fed. They're saved over here. So as you turn to Zechariah chapter 8, the Abrahamic covenant promised that through Abraham's seed, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And the purpose of that nation had to do with being a kingdom of priests, a channel through whom the salvation of God was going to go out to the nations. That distinction right here. Okay? And it's there for a purpose, guys. Somebody has to be the head. And Israel, through God, is going to be the head of the nations over here. Now, I believe wholeheartedly that when the Lord Jesus Christ sets up his thousand-year kingdom, he's going to sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years. Then I believe he gets off of there 1,000 years. David sits on that throne. He promised David that he's going to sit on his throne forever. This man right here. Okay? You don't have to spiritualize it. He's going to be resurrected and sit on that. Then under David is the 12 apostles. Then the 12 children of Israel. And then the nations. So there's a pyramid of government structure there. Lord Jesus Christ, see, he's dealing, the earth is being dealt with right here. When it's all said and done, when we talked about in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The heaven, when we're taken out of here in a great event called the rapture, the heavens are cleansed. We're placed, the body of Christ is placed in the heaven in authority positions. Israel's authority position in the earth. Lord Jesus Christ sits in a neutral location and governs the heaven and earth. And that's the whole purpose of your Bible. And there's a battle going on there. And it's a spiritual battle that God of this world wants to have this world, which he's controlling it right now. A lot of you may think he's doing a good job, but he's not, okay? He's doing a terrible job he's doing, but when the Lord Jesus Christ comes down here, it's going to be perfect when he sets up his kingdom. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. God says, I'm going to save you. And in Jeremiah chapter 7, he speaks about the tribulation. This is what he says. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Alas, alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Saved from the trouble to go into the kingdom. Okay? You back in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts, I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and I pray before the Lord. The Gentiles are going to Jerusalem to seek what? The Lord and worship the Lord. The Gentiles are. Why? Because now is times to come that they're going to see what God did for the nation Israel. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the language of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. 10 is the number of Gentiles. 10 Gentiles will grab a shirt coat of a Jew and go in that kingdom. Okay? They won't. That light. They want what God is doing. And the Gentiles get the word from Israel and go with Israel. That's what they supposed to did back here. They didn't. That is why a Gentile gets the blessing. How they get the blessing. In that kingdom, Israel is going to be a vehicle that performs as a kingdom of priests. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that in the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. That light on the hill. Okay? In Daniel chapter 2 and Revelation 17, the mountain is a type and a picture of the prophecy of the kingdom out there. That's why in Matthew's Sermon on the Mounts. Every time he goes up on the mounts, he's showing authority. Okay, he's a king in Matthew. And the Lord's kingdom will be established above all the other kingdoms right there in ages to come. And all nations are going to flow through it. That governmental structure that we talked about. Verse 3, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's going to be a glorious day over there. When all those verses were shown as a purpose, God forming a nation Israel, was to make them a channel of blessings to whom the salvation would go to the ends of the earth. And that's going to take place over here in ages to come. That's the goal of prophecy. The prophecy is the kingdom. We done talked about that. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 is an account of the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember we went through Daniel. We went through the whole book of Daniel. And they saw a prophetic preview of a picture of the times of the Gentiles beginning at 660 A.D. over here. Or B.C., I should say. We're still in the times of the Gentiles, guys. Okay? And we're still under the God of this world. And that will be setting aside when the nation of Israel politically extended way over here. And through the tribulation and the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees a stone, remember, cut without hands, hitting that image. And that stone is a type of that kingdom, the second coming of Jesus Christ right here. That's when it's going to put an end to that times of the Gentiles. And in verse 44 of Daniel, Daniel tells us, in chapter 2, verse 44, he tells us what it all means. And in the days of these kings shall the King of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse 45, for as much as thou sawest that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces of iron, brass, clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Now the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. And, you know, what it's meaning is there going to be a time over here that what he saw is going to take place over here. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom. And if the God of heaven sets up a kingdom, what do you call that kingdom? The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, because God sets it up. So when John the Baptist shows up in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, crying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what would someone verse in the Old Testament scriptures or prophets and all that think he was talking about? He's talking about exactly what Daniel described over here. And when he says, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's talking about that same kingdom. Not a different kingdom, that same kingdom. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21. Says that the time there was ages to come, as it's going to be as days of heaven upon earth. And Jesus Christ said, when you pray, told them, our Father who which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Okay? On earth as it is in heaven. That promise that God was looking for in this Old Testament over here had a hope that the kingdom of heaven is going to be established over here. And that's what they're looking for. And that's why God built the middle wall partition. And that's why he separated Israel out of that, and to make them a kingdom of nation to bring in thy kingdom. He wasn't going to use a bunch of Gentiles that God gave us up, God gave us up, God gave us over in Romans chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 11, why we are the way we are. He wasn't going to make a kingdom on this earth with us. He was going to use Israel. So I'm going to close right there. And I know I went extremely fast, but I do appreciate your time and patience that you've been with me, and hope that you will be able to understand why God made a distinction, why he made a middle wall partition. We'll pick this back up, okay? But today, you don't have to be on this side of the wall partition. Today, in the dispensation of grace, But now, there is no distinction. Okay? Everybody's down here on the bottom. Everybody should understand that you need a redeemer. And how you get redeemed today is by trusting Christ died for your sins and buried, rose again. He baptized you, he circumcised you, he places you in a body, which this body was a mystery, an unprophesized event, and he's going to take you out of here one day and places you in the heavenly positions up there, because the God of this world is controlling the world right now. He's also known as the prince and power of the air. He's controlling some things in the heavenly places up there where the stars are. Did you ever understand or realize that you cannot look at the stars today and see what God is doing like you could before the written word? Before the written word, God used the universe, the stars, and he showed you constellations of what he's going to do. Well, if Satan's controlling that, he's mixed that up. That if you look up there, you can wonder all you want to. Okay? You should be focused on what God is doing today, and that's what placing people in a body and building a body of believers. If you're not saved today, that's what you got to do. You got to trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. You trust that and that alone. And you, like I said, you may not understand it, but if you just relax and sit back, God has done that for you. Then you get in His Word, knowing what books is to you, written to you. And then you, which Romans through Philemon is written to you and I today in the dispensation of grace. All this other stuff is for learning. But this right here is the meat of God's words that's going to make a difference in your life and the decisions that you make. Father, thank you for the time. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you like to help us out in donations, you can, there's a donate button down here on the bottom on the www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. I do apologize for the things that's going on with our other outlets that we're using, but you can watch us live on YouTube, our YouTube channel. If you got a Boxcast, if you got a like an Apple product, Mac product, you can download a Boxcast app and put it on your Apple TV, your Roku TV. I think even the Fire Stick will handle it, and or on your phone there, and you can watch us live. And once again, keep us in thought and prayer, and we'll keep you in thought and prayer. Until next week, may God bless you.